Anybody ever tried this? It's called bare naked granola. You know, a lot of times, and I really don't know how this was sold to the world as a good thing, that there is a movement now for everything to get back to nature, to get back to natural foods. And so when you see the term naked in the grocery store, you would think that it's stripped of all impurities. It's natural the way that God had intended it. No genetically modified organisms to make the food. No high fructose corn syrup placed in there. It was just natural granola. You just felt like you was going out into the ground, grabbing it, just reaching it, and just taking a bite of it, whatever it was. I don't know how that ever got away, that we wanted natural things in our life. But with that being said, the topic that this morning is not about granola or about the food that we eat. It's about naked, or some people like to call it naked. Not a subject you would think that we would talk about in the church, but there was a discussion in a Sunday school a couple weeks ago about Judgment Day and about would we be standing there naked. I want to go over a couple things. A lot of people shy away from maybe talks about Judgment Day because they don't feel like they know what it's going to be like. There's a lot of things we don't know about Judgment Day, but there are a lot that we do know. And we can't shy away from teaching them. So one thing I want us to look at is how God sees physical nakedness, which is a subject that we definitely don't talk about much in the church and probably shouldn't, but we have to go over because there are two types of nakedness before God. Did you know that God created the body not to wear clothes? That wasn't just a joke in the garden where they were naked. And here was Adam and Eve walking along. And guess who was there? God. It was Christ. I mean, He was there in the garden. So here is Jesus walking around with two naked people. There was nothing wrong with any of that. Because God created the body not to wear clothes. Did you also know that He created sex? Won't delve into this much. But you know that there are people today that teach God is that this is a shameful act, and they deprive themselves of something that God says is a necessity. Because this is in the flesh. There's people that, we're talking about two people that didn't have any clothes on and two people that had sex. And I can prove both of those things to you, how God sees that physical nakedness. Genesis 3:15. It's one of the first instances where we see, it's actually not the first, I can show you the first, but it's the first prophecy that we have spelled out where Christ was promised to come. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What seed is he talking about? He's talking about when a man and a woman have sex and they produce a child. So you see, God created sex because through that act, through that physical act, guess who was to come? Our Lord and Savior. So He did create sex, but a lot of people will say, well, that's fine. He only did it for procreation. I can show you that He understood us more than that. That we would only have sex when we were going to further our family. 1 Corinthians 7:8 through 9. Paul is saying this to the younger widows and to the unmarried. He says, but to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them to remain even as I am. What's a widow? It's someone who lost their mate. Okay? And he said that it's better that we should stay in that state. And what he was saying was, is because life is full of distractions. And don't get me wrong, but he says that a married man cares about the things of his wife. And then his attention is diverted from the Lord. And he says, if you're able to live a life where your focus is solely on the Lord, and you're able to do that, that is a much better life for you. And he says that to the widows, that you've lost your mate. If you're able to go on and not have another mate, and you are to dedicate your life to God, that is a much better place to be. But there's some of us who can't do that. And he says there, verse 9, but if they cannot exercise self-control, what self-control are we talking about? Well, what happens when a man yearns for a woman and a woman yearns for a man? It creates a tension. It creates a frustration. It creates a lot of things in their mind. And he says that if you cannot exercise self-control in that instance where you cannot be without a mate, he says, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You see, God has created sex not just to procreate, not just to bring forth His Son, but He created this world. He created all of these things. And the marriage bed, because there's two types, there is fornication and adultery. Fornication is sex outside the marriage bed. Adultery is when we break the covenant with our mate, with God, and we go out and have sex outside of that marriage bed because of the broken covenant. So those two things. But on the marriage bed, God says He doesn't look upon that. That is a time for us to fulfill our desires. So God created all of these things when it comes to sex. And this is spiritual nakedness. And somehow we're going to think that when He talks about judgment day, that we would be open and naked before His eyes, that we think, oh my gosh. And the first thing that comes to mind, am I going to be standing there without drawers on? You know? Maybe we're standing there naked. This is an uncomfortable situation. I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to see all of my friends and all of my family. I don't want to see all of this stuff. Is this the way it's going to be? It's a real question, right? God has an answer. But see, He created this, so this is not shameful to Him. Because of sin, things have fallen. But this is not shameful. If God has a problem with physical nakedness, you'll know it. You know how you'll know it? Because you'll read the term sexual immorality. And He talks about what we do with that nakedness. All right? So, when God's talking about physical nakedness, He doesn't have a problem with it. There's going to be something else He wants us to see here. On Judgment Day, there's got to be another reason why He says we're naked. Let's look at how He sees spiritual nakedness. The counsels of our heart is revealed. See, God knows what we're all about. And when we are naked before Him spiritually, we're not hiding anything. If we're here this morning to worship Him, He knows it. If we're here to cause division, He knows it. If we're here to edify the body, He knows it. Whatever we're here for this morning, He knows. And He likens that to you sitting there naked. You feel comfortable with that? Strolling up in church naked and plopping down beside somebody that's naked? That's what He says. He says when spiritual nakedness, He says that's the way He wants you to understand how He sees you. You're sitting there naked before, and He wants to want you to know that just as your neighbor would see you naked and see everything you got there, He knows everything you got in your heart. The counsels of our heart, what we're listening to, what we're all about. Which comes down to our true intentions. There's no secrets. You know, the old analogy, I guess, when the wife puts on the dress and she's like, you know, does this make me look fat? Well, if it did, you wouldn't say yes. Because you wouldn't want to hurt her feelings. You wouldn't want to ruin the evening. You just wouldn't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? It's an old analogy. I mean, somebody's... That's right. Anyway, you wouldn't want to go there. You wouldn't want to say that. But the true intentions would be revealed. It would be like when she stood there and said, does this make me look fat? And you'd say, yeah, I'd put something else on. Now, that's hurtful. It's the truth. But what she's asking is that I know you love me. I know you think I'm beautiful. But I don't want to bless you. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody else. How am I going to look in front of everybody else? Do you think that they would be favorable or not favorable? And so when you tell her, I'd change your clothes, that's what she wants to hear. That's not what she wants to hear, but that's what she wants to know. And God says that our true intentions, He's showing us. What we're all about. He says it this way. Hebrews 4:11-13. He says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Do you remember the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they ate of the tree of the knowledge? The first thing that they did when they became disobedient to God is that they talked about their nakedness. They realized they were naked and they tried to hide themselves from God. They wanted to hide that disobedience. And he says here, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We've got it from when they wandered in the desert all the way back to Adam and Eve. All the examples of disobedience of what God's going to do. And he tells us, he says, look, verse 12, he says, for the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says that when He says that we are naked before Him, He says He is going to divide everything that we have into two categories. And that is going to be our true intentions and what we say. And He's going to make them known. He says that His Word is a discerner of the hearts. So when we read and your wife asks you that question, did I look good in that dress? And you say, I would change. See, when you're reading the Word of God, you think, boy, I'm such a great guy. I want to sit down and see how great I am. And God says, you know, you're not so great. And you think, well, okay, what have I got to do to change this? And He says, and He tells us our heart. He shows you, He says, this is why you're not so great. Because He starts showing us all these things that I have in our heart. You know that when I'm angry with my wife or she's angry with me, that interferes with our prayer life. That interferes with God advancing us as a couple to be effective into the kingdom. Well, I don't care if she's wrong. Well, then you know what? If she can't see it or I can't see it, we have to do something about it to fix it because God doesn't want to leave us in this state. Right? He says, a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Try to do a study on the soul and spirit. Look it up yourself. It is not easy for us as teachers to divide the soul and spirit. Do it yourself. Try to come back with an answer of what's the difference between the soul and the spirit. God likens it to the fact that we have bones. And you know, for them to do a marrow transplant, it's very painful. They have to get into the bone and they can't quite get it all. And they get pockets of marrow here and there. It's very difficult because without the marrow, you can't have the bone. And without the bone with the marrow, it crumbles. You got to have these two together. So it's very difficult to separate this. And God says His Word, because you have fooled yourself into thinking that you are okay, God says, I'm going to divide it and show you clearly that you are not. And I'm going to show you how evil your heart can be. Verse 13, and this is what He wants us to see. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The way that you feel, the things that you're doing, the things that you're hiding in your heart, your true intentions, God says it would be no different than if you walked into this church today and we stopped you and stripped you of your clothes and you had to parade down here and sit down. And God says, that's the way it's going to be on Judgment Day. He says, I want you to understand that. And if you're okay with that happening, you have no shame. And on Judgment Day, I can't tell you about the sting of that because it doesn't bother you. God doesn't bother you. You don't care. Remember what I talked about this morning, all these things that we went over? Trying to take away the shame of the world. To think, you know, everything's okay. It's just fine. I don't care. If you don't like the way I look naked, don't look. That's the way some people are. And some people would be mortified because they have, what is the word? Decency. Even God says that certain areas of our body we treat with more decency and we hide. But He says, under all circumstances, understand, just like you're physically naked, He says, you will be naked to me, to whom you must give an account. See, by us understanding the shame of physical nakedness, playing games with the blood of Christ and not repenting, it would be crazy to think we could fool God with this type of exposure before Him. Really? Right? This is what He wants us to see. Nobody wants to come in here unprepared, because that's what's going to happen to the world. The Bible says He's going to come at a time that they don't know. And then you're walking into church, hey, I think I'll go to church with you today. And you get stopped and somebody strips you of your clothes and boots you into the sanctuary and shuts the door and there you are. around a bunch of other naked people, and all you got to do is just sit down. And God says, that's the way I want you to understand how it's going to be on Judgment Day, because you will be exposed to my sight like that. And we don't understand spiritual nakedness. Maybe we don't understand spiritual adultery in that sight, but we can certainly understand physical nakedness, and that's why he alludes to this, so that we can understand nothing will be hidden from him on Judgment Day. Cleared up now. What a great thing we have is repentance, to come around this table. What a great place we have to see that we're not a Christian, we need to be one, or that we are a Christian and we're failing, or we're falling away. God is offering. You know what he's offering you? You're standing there naked. You know what he's offering you? He's offering you clothes. He's offering you something that will hide your shame. That's what he's doing. I prove that. Without a shadow of a doubt. On Judgment Day, it might be the next slide. I don't know. One of the two. But I'll prove it. Judgment Day. You know, the Bible says we're clothed in white linen and we're given a robe. See, why does he allude to physical nakedness and then turn around and saying he's going to give us some white linen to put on and a white robe? Revelation 19:8 is where the white linen says. And to her, talking about the church, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Don't ever let anybody tell you that all you have to do is believe. Those things that we do before God. He said, when did you come to me and give me clothes when I was naked? When did you give me food to eat when I was hungry? When did you visit me in prison? See, we cannot call ourselves a Christian and say that we just believe in God and look at the world and say, not my problem. We wouldn't look at our family and say, not our problem. And we don't look at the world that way. But understand, the world is going to come at us with everything they have. They hate us. But we can't just say, not my problem. See, the righteous acts of the saints will clothe us on Judgment Day. You know who won't have that? The unrighteous. The unforgiven. The unrepentant. They will be standing there naked. They're not promised a robe. They're not promised clean linen. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know what that means? That doesn't mean God's going to run cover up. That means that you sought your forgiveness from God in the name of Jesus Christ by His blood, and God will honor that. And He says, no matter what you've done, I'm expecting faithfulness. And He says, but your repentance unto my Son, He says, I will forgive you. And God says that we will be hidden in Christ on that day. Why? Who's going to bring up our sins? God's going to say, I forgave him of that. He said, well, you didn't forgive me. He didn't ask. Where's your fine linen? Where's your righteous acts of the saints? You claimed to be a Christian, but you did nothing. Where are they at? They would be here today if you did them. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4. For we know that our earthly house, talking about this body right here, this tent is destroyed. We have a building from God. See, when this physical has fallen to the grave and we raise on the newness of life to Judgment Day, we'll be giving a new body. Did you know that? See, that's when it happens. People don't know when the new body's coming, but it's going to come before Judgment Day, because the people that are unrepentant, that have not found Christ, that have rejected Him, that have turned away from Him and rejected the gospel, their new bodies that do not die will be cast into the lake of fire. So when we stand there on Judgment Day, we're standing in a spiritual body. And we know that from the beginning. If we go back to Adam and Eve, when they walked in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that when they fell, when sin entered the world and we took on flesh, that place called Eden is protected by a flaming sword. Did they not walk the earth? Where is that place today? You see, the physical and the spiritual existed both, but they changed. There was a change there. I think we went over that, but there was a change. So we'll be given a new body. What is that? I don't know what that new body is exactly like, because I can't tell you what age it'll be. I don't know if it's when you'll be in the greatest shape of your life. What about the children who never had a chance to grow up? I don't know what that spiritual body is going to be like, but I can tell you this. it's not a spirit, it's a body. It is a spiritual body. Just like Jesus when he rose from the dead. Verse 2, he says, For in this we groan. I'm sorry, back up a little bit. We have a building from God, a house made not without hands, but eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Who doesn't want to shed this body and take on our new body? When we come to the place where we realize that we are dying, that our bodies are given out, and God has promised us a new body that will not get sick, will not feel pain, will not die. He never says that it's gorgeous. We assume it will be. Who cares? God has promised us something, and we look forward to that. Bible, it says that we groan. Oh, my gosh. And you know when we do that? It's when we get up in the mornings. Oh. Or it's when we get down and we've been working in the flower bed, or we've been doing the oil in the car and we have to get up from when we've been down on the ground. That's we groan then too. That's pretty rough because our bodies are dying. It's giving out. Verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. When were we clothed? Scripture tells us two times that we're clothed. One is when we were given a white robe, and the other time is when our righteous acts presented us with linens. And he says, if we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. See, nobody wants to stand there on Judgment Day naked. And God says, if you have been clothed by the righteous acts of the saints, if you have been given a new robe, if you've been immersed into Christ, which is when we put on that robe, the Bible says, we don't desire to stand there naked, and we won't be. We will be naked before His sight, but that sting of what we know as physical nakedness, that we're exposed to everybody with nothing to hide, the Bible says we're clothed in Christ, and we are content with that. Because he says, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that morality will be swallowed up by life. The Bible says that we will stand there as Christians, clothed in Christ, but the world will not. Why does that matter? We'll see in a minute. See, both the unforgiven and the forgiven will stand before Christ on Judgment Day. But you know who only sees this picture? Christians. You know why? Because we're the only ones that read Scripture. And if you do find someone that is unsaved trying to read Scripture, the Bible says that it is spiritually discerned. They cannot see this picture. You can explain it to them and they can say, oh, I see it. I see it. And you know what will happen? We'll shut the book, and they'll go right back to what they were doing before. Just like a child that you said, now don't go play in the street no more. It's dangerous. Okay, I won't. You'd be lucky if it's a day and they'd be back out in the street. And that's what God says for the unsaved, the ones that do not have the Holy Spirit of God. That's what happens. Remember what I said, that the unrighteous, the unforgiven, will not be clothed. They're not going to be clothed in anything. They're not going to have the fine linen. They're not going to have the robes. So I guess we're okay that we're Christians and we invite our mother, brother, sister, someone who's not a Christian, and we invite them to church and we pray them around naked, right? That'd be okay, right? See, this is why God tells us this. Because we need to understand that the people that we love, we're putting them in that position on Judgment Day, and only we can see that picture. We have to be able to tell them. They don't want to listen. But on Judgment Day, when they're ashamed and they're standing there and there's tears, you'll know that you did what you could. You didn't coddle them. You told them the truth. You said, this is the way it's going to be. You've done a great job, but what you've done is not going to clothe you on Judgment Day. Christ will. And if you don't have a problem with being naked, then let's strip down naked, you and me, and let's go walking up the street. What would wake them up? I don't know. But we do not want to see our unsaved family parading around here naked. They don't see the picture. We do. Remember how I said that I would prove that on Judgment Day that we are clothed in the righteous acts, the saints, that we are clothed as Christians? Revelation 3:5 says, "But he who overcomes, he who remains faithful, they shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life." There's only two ways you're going to stand on Judgment Day. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're clothed. If you're out of Christ, you're not clothed. So we went over the unsaved, right? We went over the ones that had no need for God in their life. They were content with just flipping back and forth from pillar to post and making ends meet and just living life and having fun. But what about the Christian that observes all of this? What about the Christian that sees all of this and they get sucked back into that world? Revelation is a wonderful book. It shows a great picture of victory. But this is given a promise. "For he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. But he who does not overcome will not be clothed in white garments." And you say, well, that's talking to the world. In Revelation, he talks to seven churches. If there's one thing that's for absolute sure, when God calls the saved the church, it is the saved church. And he's telling that saved church, if you do not overcome, if you bail out now, you will not be clothed in white garments. All of those things that you've done, all of those things that you persevered for, you will now be standing with the people that you preached to and said, you're going to be standing there naked, you're going to be doing this, this, this. Now you find yourself there. God is serious about this. He told you, he's telling us, that we will be exposed to him and we can't hide anything. Why does that matter? In my life, I do not have somebody beating on my door, tying my hands and telling me we're going to go sin. Not happened yet. My worst enemy is myself. We have to come to a place where we are honest with God. And he can work from there. Because if not, then whatever we're trying to hide from each other and from God, he's going to expose that one day. And we don't want to be found naked. We want to be found clothed in Christ. Will we overcome everything that's in our life? No, I can think of a few that I probably will never overcome. But I can't stop trying to overcome them. And it's for the simple fact that I will not become sinless in this flesh, because the flesh has not yet been redeemed. The spirit has, but the body has not yet. When it dies, it goes in the ground. It has to be raised to be redeemed to the newness of life. That doesn't give an excuse for anybody to say, well, because nobody's perfect, I can do this, and because you couldn't do it, I can do it, and everybody's fine. God alludes physical nakedness to spiritual nakedness when we stand before him on Judgment Day. And I hope with tact, I went over that this morning to show how God will see us on Judgment Day when we think about physical nakedness. And so how do we want to appear before God? You see, if we do not stay faithful, we will be exposed as the unforgiven. God looks down on us. He sees a child. He sees somebody willing that he was willing to die for. He looks down on us and he sees a soul worth saving. Even for the people that were rejected to him and lived an ungodly lifestyle, he walked among them and he said, he began to tell them stories that revealed themselves to themselves. God wasn't surprised that the things that were going on. But when he put it into perspective in the light of God, that God is looking down on this, then it changed their perspective for some. So when God is looking down on you here now, how does he see you? Does he see someone that has accepted the gospel or rejected it? Does he see someone who believes and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin? and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Does He see somebody who believed that, or does He see somebody who rejected that? It's got to start there. Because remember the robe that we put on? The righteous acts of the saints, the Bible says that the ones can that without the Holy Spirit that are doing works of the flesh, they're disqualified. So it has to start with the Spirit. That robe has to be put on. And God says when you put that robe on and you remain faithful to Him, that robe will stay on and your nakedness will be covered on Judgment Day. So how do you want to appear before God? What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?